Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 106, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, hey, fuck Coke Industries,
fuck you.
As in the Coke brothers, and fuck Fox News.
Yeah, fuck them too.
It's Friday, November 1st, 2019, All Hallows Day. My name is Jack O'Brien, put a spell on you, because I'm Jack O'Brien!
Whoa.
My AK was courtesy of Ramen King, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
From the window to the wall,
to the wall,
to the bucket where the ballast fall, the house stood up and called, oh, in peace, motherfucker, oh, in peace, Cheeto Man, oh, in peace, this motherfucker, oh, in peace, Cheeto Man, showed it crumb, so fresh and clean.
Anyway, there's the one part where he says,
about been to the club, about been 11 times, now can I play with your panty line?
How do you play with your panty line?
Play with your panty line. I think it makes a lot of sense.
It's creeping up in your butt. Can I pull it out? Help your panty escape?
I think that he's suggesting he wants to make the problem worse.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't want to improve.
Or it's really innocent. He just walks his fingers along the panty line. It's a tightrope walker.
Does a little like
Yeah, I'm really into wholesome kind of shit at the club when I'm groping women. Can I play with your panty line for my finger dancer?
Ultimately, that song is for middle school dancers.
Yes.
Ultimately, who is speaking right now?
Oh, shit. Wait, go ahead. The Oxford.
Oh, yep.
That is the guest in our third seat. One of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore herself. She is the hilarious and talented Little Zam. She is Jamie Loftus.
Okay. Don't be shy. No, I missed it again. I'm still Jamie from the Zeit. Got a dog that's a little alright, but that's okay because I know that I'm Loftus.
Ooh.
There it is. there it is. I always miss the fucking drop on my own damn thing.
No, it's but you do that intentionally. People don't know that's part of like the whole ethos.
Oh yeah, it's 4D chess that I'm playing. Absolutely.
They're just light shooting out of your eyes right now.
Jamie, it's so great to have you back. How you been?
I've been okay.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah, yeah. I'm unemployed again. It's my first day. I'm back.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
Great.
You mean fun employed?
Great.
Hey-o.
Slept till 9 a.m.
Hey. Woo. Is what? That normal? Are you? But you kind of, you're an early riser, aren't you?
I tend to get up pretty early, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember about you.
Thank you so
much. 9 o'clock, does that feel good to wake up at 9?
9 o'clock feels good. It feels warm.
Yeah.
Feels warm, feel good. Woke up, made some oatmeal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Humble brag.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I got a couple
living
packets
that
of oatmeal.
Oatmeal life. Yeah.
I keep like emergency
well,
oatmeal
actually,
at
let's
the
be
house.
Real. Did you use milk or water?
Oh, I use water.
Wow. Okay, so you're still humble.
Yeah. 100%.
No, that's when I know you've left. I'm like, she's using milk with her oatmeal.
I would never just have milk in the house that wasn't
oatmeal
that
milk?
Was useful.
Right.
Like, no, I just have emergency oatmeal for
you,
when I wake
you
up.
You only
starving.
Keep spoiled milk in your house?
Yeah. To make a point.
For pranks.
Like, to who? Unclear.
Yeah, unwanted guests. Can I offer you a glass of milk? what do you use? The Quaker instant packets?
No, it's like CVS.
CVS? Oats. What flavor?
Apple cinnamon.
Okay, yeah.
It's that feels the best good. Flavor. It's
I'm
the
a,
best flavor.
I'm a peaches and cream kind of guy for the
really?
Instant
Ooh.
Oatmeal. Yeah.
Mm. It's too sweet for me.
That's why I like it.
Apple cinnamon is definitely the one that masks the fact that you're eating oatmeal the most.
That's what, no, I think peaches cardboard. And cream because it's just basically
peaches
pudding.
And cream is not always there, though. Peaches
what do you
and
mean?
Cream, maybe it's just always being
has
eaten
it been
out of
out?
The box before I,
oh, the variety
before
pack?
I get to it. But,
oh, why are you looking at me?
Well, I'm just saying, apple oh. cinnamon is always in the variety.
You're cut. Saying in
yes,
the office.
It's always there.
No, just any, I buy a lot of oatmeal, Miles.
Yeah, I know.
Individually packaged
But you were
oatmeal.
Looking at me as if you were trying to imply I was stealing
oh, no,
the peaches
never.
And cream at your house. I'm
no.
like, I've never even been there.
No, I wasn't implying anything.
I was just
saying that it's more
Please
of a, it's
fight.
Harder to find.
Nah, whatever, dude. Still waiting for that invite, though.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Actually,
well,
vice versa.
I'll make sure... That we have a
We'll
fresh
never
box
go to each other's
oatmeal.
Houses.
Well, it seems like everything is going well here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
okay.
Been great.
Hey, Jamie, who do you think would win in a fight? Me or Jack?
Well, I guess it depends.
First, check out my fucking biceps.
I'm Carl Anthony Towns. You're Joel Embiid.
Oh, shit.
And we'll see who Anna comes in and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons jumps in and just goes for the jugular. Ugh. Just starts choking him out. It looked like drunk Pacific Rim. Like the two dudes fighting. They're so big and uncoordinated. Mm. Anyways, Jamie.
Yes?
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. Today, it is everything that's old is new again. Because we have an update about Paris Hilton and her collection of suits.
Thank
Velour
God.
Velour suits in particular. Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Kurt Cobain's sweater. From the MTV Unplugged show. We are going to check in with the impeachment process.
Girl, I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
Ooh, oh, there we go. New drop.
New drop. New drop. Mm. Whose vocals are those? Those
I don't
are...
know. It might have been Slim from 112.
Uh-huh.
Or Q or Mike or Duran.
That's amazing that Dan got Slim from 112 to do a drop for the show.
He apparently knows him.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some more witnesses, the passage of the resolution, the passage of the revolution.
Yes.
Resolution. Trump is now trying to bribe GOP senators. There's been a tonal shift in how GOP senators are talking about the story that the Hill recently observed. We are going to check in with the whistleblower. Because apparently right-wing media, just a dropful day, right-wing media has exposed who he is. We won't say his name, but it is a him, and we'll just make you guess.
For him.
The president had a kind of brief moment of clarity where he...
Yeah, gave some insight to his relationship
with
his wife.
It was very interesting. This being All Hallows Day, All Saints Day, the day that we all look forward to. Some people like to celebrate All Saints Day Eve or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
But,
it's embarrassing.
Here at the Daily Zeitgeist, we're all about the saints. But we will look back at some of the All Hallows Eve costumes that different people were wearing, the most popular. The celebrity costumes that really hit it out of the park.
Wow.
I don't know why I'm making fun of my own show.
There.
And we're going to look at Twitter. Because
just look at it. Just check it out.
It makes me feel good to look at Twitter and all social media platforms. So I'm glad you said that.
Yep.
But the fact that they have decided not to accept political ads, which is kind of cool.
That is nice.
Hey, that's pretty cool, man.
Doing that. Minimum.
But Jamie, first, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Titanic, Mexico.
Oh, where they shot it?
How did you know that?
Because my mom... She's a film critic. She did a set visit at the time, and she came back. She's like, James Cameron is making a Titanic movie, and he's a really cool set I went to. She talks like Ken Watanabe in Inception. but I remember seeing the photo. I'm like, why Mexico? And I didn't realize they just had that like little bay that they shot.
Hey, James Cameron was it. James Cameron was asking himself why Mexico after a while, because there was a hurricane that tore the roof off of where one of the sound stages that they shot.
Oh, really?
You guys know all these facts about the production of Titanic?
I know.
Miles' mom is
came
a film critic.
Totally passive for me.
And my guilty pleasure is sadly movie reviews. I just like read every movie review and like behind the scenes. Like that's what I did. Growing up in high school.
I felt like you, it's odd, I realize for you, Titanic is so important that somehow
I didn't know
these old guys are like,
shot it in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Too bad about the weather, though.
Too bad.
You're like, what the fuck
is
happening?
Oh, my God.
From both sides.
You hear about the hurricane.
Very, very terrifying.
Are you thinking about visiting the spot where it all happened?
No, I've been working on a show for the past month or so, and I was writing a lot of Billy Zane specific jokes that were then, for a number of reasons, brought back to me because they were not maybe not historically accurate enough about the very specific production of Titanic. I got some notes from the Zane camp that were like, well, you know, this joke can't be said because actually we were filming in Mexico. And so if there were any ghosts haunting the set of Titanic, they would be ghosts from people who were in Mexico or Mexican themselves. So we actually need a rewrite on this because...
And you were like, idiots, nobody knows that it was shot in Mexico. And
people close to me
to that night
right
of
away.
That night of the show, and I'm like, I'm really disappointed in Jamie. This
joke was
fucking
off.
No, wrong.
Wrong! No, Jamie, it's Mexico. Wait, where was the joke originally? Where did you think it was?
Well, I was writing it. Okay, maybe
this is revealing too much.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Come on.
I just the location. Where? We'll keep it simple without revealing the humor of it.
So I was writing it as if they were actual like ghosts from the actual Titanic.
Got it.
I was thinking more movie centric. I wasn't thinking about the extended universe of the production of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then they were like, well, think about, put yourself in Zane's shoes.
Yeah.
What ghosts would he have been seeing?
You think he's gonna be able to believe this line? If
will he
knows.
Come? Will he come to your show?
He's like, yeah.
Sorry, guys. We're back. We had to cut a little bit because Jamie got too deep into her NDA.
Controversy.
Some very, very compelling stuff that we just learned.
Here's what I'll say. There's a picture of Billy Zane on the wrap party cake.
That's all we'll say. Have you ever met anybody who didn't know that Titanic was a real boat until the movie? Or like thought it was just a movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, I was like, wait a second. What?
Hey? Just a movie?
I love when people don't, because it's like, I mean, you can't be like that mad because the Titanic, like it's a big thing, but it's not like, you know, I feel like you don't lose your perspective of the entire world by just never having heard of it.
Yeah, totally.
So you're not ignorant. That's just a weird knowledge gap.
Right, yeah.
That was a joke in my family about my mom's mom was born 2 days before the Titanic sank.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, you as old as the Titanic, Grandma. She didn't like that.
I saw an afternoon screening of Judy a couple of weeks ago. There was someone in the crowd. It was like an older crowd. It was like noon on a Sunday. And there was someone in the crowd who didn't know that Judy Garland died, I guess, or like died young.
Oh.
Because it's not a great movie. But
I hope she's okay.
Well, at the end, you know, like at the end of like a biopic, it says like, you know, 2 weeks later,
right,
Judy Garland died at the age of 47. And someone in the audience was like, oh, like they were so shocked.
No.
I was really enjoying the film.
They're like, oh, I thought she was going to pull through. I was like, how would you think that?
Yeah.
But they were just really, I mean, they were visibly like, wow. Yeah.
Optimism.
And I mean, to that point, James Cameron's Titanic does not include like a part at the end where it's like that really happened, what you just saw, or anything like that.
You gotta remind them.
You gotta remind people.
An end card that says, dude,
seriously,
that shit was real.
You believe that shit totally happened. Everything except the placement of the stars and that dude pinging off the propeller. Jamie, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. My boyfriend's aunt's sewing account on Instagram.
Okay. I've been saying this for years. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's a great account. It's not to brag, but my boyfriend has an aunt.
Oh,
and I know, and she lives in the Boston metropolitan area.
Okay, fine.
Which is
great. I get it. 1% auntie.
She's a great. I don't know. She's fascinating to me. I've only met her one time. But she's maybe the top interactor with my alt-right dog's Instagram account.
Okay.
She leaves him really scathing messages on all of his posts. But she's a very – if you want to follow her and her very cool work, she's a very talented
seamster,
quilter.
Quilter?
Yeah, she's a quilter. And I got interested in quilting this year, so I was very excited about it.
That's pretty cool.
She's in a guild. She's at Snippy Scissors. And I think, you know, people really have to know what's going on with Snippy because she's both very talented and very funny.
Yeah.
And
does she give good tips too, if you're looking for them?
She gives good tips and she gives good snips. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
She truly
tips
does.
Tips and snips.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time Sunny, you know, posts something, she really puts him in his place. And she often will call him pathetic.
So she's just like a really funny
just
person.
Just like as a comment underneath a photo.
Yeah.
Like, pathetic.
She also she's met Sonny once and she staged a picture of him with a bunch of empty pill bottles looking like he just overdosed.
Oh, Jesus.
So she's
Christ.
Got a very, she's
Shout
got some
out to her.
Gallows
Yo,
humor.
She's really funny.
You got to check out Snippy.
Why
she's
was
wild.
One of her quilts in a tree? Is that just like a...
Why was one of her quilts in it? That's
just
part of the beauty
amongst
of,
the branches.
That's part of the beauty of Snippy. You don't know.
Like, is that an Etsy trend where you like sew something and then just like throw it in a tree?
All
so it's like in wilderness?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. That seems like a cool way to display
tornado
your wares. Yeah, tornado sheep.
Her quilts are very complicated. I don't remember exactly what her day job is, but she like works for like, she has like a pretty, she like designs military wear. Like she has like a lot, she has
oh,
a
wow.
lot of.
She's got a lot of talent, it sounds
she
like.
She contains multitudes. I think she's so cool. And you got to check out those snips.
Okay.
Check her.
What is something you think is overrated?
Dressing your dog up like a knife for Halloween.
Who kind of sick person would do that?
It was too hard.
It was you. Full disclosure.
It was me. I overestimated my own abilities.
To make a dog a knife?
To make a dog look like a knife. No one knew he was supposed to be a knife. He was very uncomfortable in the knife costume.
I loved those Instagram stories following that saga. And then like the people at the dog Halloween costume at the dog park were like, and he's a knife?
He's a knife. Wow. No one thought it was funny, least of all Sonny the dog. Snippy Scissors, in fact, commented on his picture. It said, you couldn't find a professional out there to fashion a proper knife costume? Pathetic.
Snippy.
There's some
getting snippy.
She was getting, those scissors, be careful.
Yo,
don't mess with the scissors.
Sniper.
They'll snip.
She will snipe you.
Is there a character that is a pair of scissors that is... like mean
sentient
Snippy? I don't know is
oh, okay.
there I
you should ask her
yeah
I'd be interested
no that's Clippy not Snippy no oh. I was just thinking of
oh okay
I don't know. But I tried to make Sonny look like
Did
a
you
knife.
Say Clippy like from Microsoft Word?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just making sure
we're done with
I was just giving a shout out.
Before, wasn't it like a wizard? Too?
Clippy.
Who was before Clippy?
I think the wizard.
There was a
after.
Wizard.
Oh,
the wizard.
Yeah,
the like installation wizard or whatever.
Yeah, it was like a dude with a white beard and like a wizard cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's post Clippy?
I think so.
Well,
I think
gang, let us
post?
Know.
Wow.
Is it post? Is wizard poster pre Clippy?
This is the real news.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I wouldn't recommend the knife costume. If anyone has any ideas on how, you know, maybe I could improve for next year, but we entered him in a costume contest and it really couldn't have gone worse.
Right. Yeah.
What was
you
the winning outfit?
You just taped a real knife to his back, right?
Well, I should have just taped knives to Sonny.
That would have been way funnier.
Literally shreds the competition.
Yeah, or just give like a cardboard harness and you just glue a bunch of prop knives on it so it's not dangerous, but it's like, this dog's just a bunch of knives.
It's more abstract.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the winning one, honestly, I didn't stay the whole time because Sonny fucking humiliated himself.
Pathetic.
It was really, it was pathetic. They called him on stage and he walked out like, you know,
confused.
Like,
I say, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you bail in the middle of the bit and he's like, I don't really know what this is either, guys. Sorry. And you're like, what the fuck?
What the fuck, Sonny? You sold me out.
I spent $17 on this shit and this is what you do.
How did you try? Can you describe to people how you tried to pull off the knife?
I bought him a dog sweatshirt that I then sewed silver fabric over for the knife base.
Right.
For the handle?
For the blade. Yeah, for the blade.
Oh, got it. Yeah, yeah.
He's a brown dog, so his ass is kind of the handle.
Oh, right.
So you got the handle just by having him. And then you put the silver jacket on, and then we taped, like, we made a little hat, a pointy little hat.
Yeah.
It looked kind of good. I thought it looked like a...
Honey, you look good.
Oh, sorry.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me trying to...
I would be like, I think that dog got stuck in a piece of ventilation or something.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, is he a dustbuster? I was like, oh, fuck you guys.
He's a fucking knife, asshole.
He's a fucking knife. And he was embarrassed. I think a dog dressed as Guy Fieri or some pandering bullshit one. I don't care.
Yeah, I've noticed that like the funniest people I know oftentimes don't successfully execute Halloween costumes because like Halloween costumes are like very, like I feel like the successful ones are oftentimes like very basic and it's just like, I don't know. You just need something that's almost broad and like a lot of really funny people I've been hearing stories from who go more obscure.
I always go too high concept for Halloween and then I can't execute it.
Yeah.
Don't make your dog a knife. Just, you know what? There's nice costumes at Petco. You could just go there. It's fine. Mm.
Sophie's dog, our office mascot, Anderson, was a Tootsie Roll. And it was just
it's
it was
so cute.
Very easy.
Ace is a taco.
Ace is a taco.
Beautiful.
Very cute.
Incredible.
Cute. We're going to actually have our Halloween costume expert, super producer Anna Hosnier, on a little later on to tell us the digest. What happened yesterday? What went down in the costume world?
Beep, beep.
But we also like to ask our guest, Jamie, what is a myth?
Ooh, something I've been thinking about a lot this week, or I didn't mean to think about it a lot, but then ended up doing so, was I was thinking about if this bugs people, it's like a little bit about eating disorders, but I was thinking about how like I have thought about the same like throwaway joke that I saw on Family Guy when I was 13 for like literally maybe several times a week for my entire life since then, and how it's like kind of informed. I don't know. Like it was a joke that basically is like Peter Griffin, some stupid fucking cutaway joke where he's like, oh, if a woman weighs over this amount, like I don't want to have sex with her. Or, you know, it was like a stupid not joke.
Something
at
where
all.
Weight was a qualifying quality of.
Right, with this like fucking Seth MacFarlane cartoon. But anyways, like it's very stupid, but I think about it all the time.
Right.
And it's like that number that he says has like stuck in my head for like over a decade.
Oh my God.
And just I was thinking about that, so I just like tweeted it out just as like kind of as a joke, but right. It's true. And then all these, so I guess my myth is there's no such thing as a full throwaway joke,
right?
Because it's all there's always going to be someone that it hits a little different. And I don't really know, like, I don't have a proposed solution. I think it's just right. like really frustrating and unfortunate, and like has a lot to do with just playing to broad stereotypes instead of like thinking about something for 45 seconds.
Right.
Because like, I don't think, I mean, it's like, I doubt that like the, like when you write a joke like that, it's highly doubtful that it's intended for like
yeah.
a 13-year-old kid to see and then never stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then people started like responding to that thread with like different, very, very specific throwaway jokes that they'd seen on TV or in movies that they had also been thinking about for like years and years and years. And I don't know. It gave me some food for thought. We got a lot of people, I guess that in some of the Twilight books, they say a specific weight for how much like Bella Swan weighed, and uh-huh. that fucked with a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
Bridget Jones fucks with a lot of people. Because they like make jokes about her weight when she's like
yeah,
a
she's
very
Renee
normal.
Yeah.
yeah, she's a very normal weight.
Jesus.
And I don't know. Yeah, I it was like something that I had only thought about in regards to that joke. And like I even like I would tell like my boyfriend, I was like, oh yeah, I'm like I'm gonna hit Seth MacFarlane weight any day now. Like I'm like, why did I let Seth MacFarlane inform my fucking
yeah, right?
weight
right.
goal? That makes no sense.
And then just yeah. that statement alone, I'm gonna hit Seth MacFarlane weight. I'd be like,
and then
what?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what's that mean?
But yeah, it was like interesting to hear what other specific things that I mean, I think in a lot of cases we're not written to fuck people up, but fuck people up anyways. Yeah, I don't know. It's,
sure.
it's just something that's been on my little mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little.
My little
gigantic
mind.
Gigantic brain.
Giant and expansive.
They, 4D chess my membership brain. Card.
Oh, what is that? Mensa?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but if, I mean, I don't know. If,
no,
if psyching,
do you still love
that's
Seth
a really
McFarlane?
Good point. And I mean...
Yes. Well, I think that that's probably, I'm sure that like my performative love of Seth MacFarlane is partially connected
to that.
To that.
Right. This
yeah.
weird ideal
right.
that
oh,
he's.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but to answer your question, of course. Of course. You can text me anytime.
Right.
Yeah. I would, why do I have this dream about Seth MacFarlane throwing me down a flight of stairs? You know, could we connect it? We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, that is like, you know, what we talk about here is how culture affects reality and vice versa.
Yeah.
And, yeah. That,
and how it's like designed to fuck with you.
Yeah. And even if it's unintentional, sometimes it does have an impact for sure.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. so many people have such different experiences. Like you can never think that any single thing will be received a single way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why diversity is incredibly important when it comes to like writing rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and it's time to check in with the impeachment process.
Girl, I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
Ooh.
I love it.
New drop.
So smooth.
Yeah.
Really is smooth.
Brings
really
is. Brings a smile to my face.
Goes so easy.
It's a Miles and DJ Daniel collab.
Collabo.
Labo.
All right, Miles.
All right, Jack.
So the House passed a resolution yesterday.
Yep.
Sailed right on through.
Not a good sign.
Along party lines. It was basically what people expected. I think two Democrats who were particularly worried about, you know, how they would do in upcoming elections voted nay.
Yeah.
Instead of yay.
Has to be delivered that way.
Yeah. Yai or nigh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything that was really unexpected about like the rules for what's going to go down, right?
No, and I think what's good is that I think the biggest risk, though, I see with like public hearings is if some of these Democrats just start grandstanding and not actually like giving good cross-examination, basically, if they're like when it gets to the public phase. Because that's happened before. We saw that in certain committee hearings. We're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
But what's also good is that they can have like lawyers to pull up and ask questions as well. Beyond that, there isn't much new. I think the one thing that was interesting was Nancy Pelosi was basically saying like, look, these are the rules. And the reason we're doing this is that we can basically build a case because if we take a vote to actually impeach the president, this shit is going to be ironclad.
Right.
Like, we're not going to fuck around on like some half-baked sort of plan. And for all like the crowing and crying on the right about like, this is just a witch hunt, like, how's he going to defend himself? Well, then when he's impeached, you have a trial in the Senate.
Right.
And then you can defend. Okay.
Yeah.
Because right now they're trying to figure out if you have impeached, committed an impeachable offense.
So they're just arguing with the Constitution, right? Like,
isn't
like the thing they're arguing against are the rules of impeachment.
Yes, it doesn't make sense,
right?
Because that's the only thing they can attack is process at this point. And like everything's like there's nothing what you're saying doesn't hold any weight because even what you're saying, like the due process occurs in the actual trial.
Yeah,
that's like saying if you committed a crime and like the cops are like investigating something,
right.
You're like, well, hold on, I got to be able to defend myself right now.
Right.
It's like, fam, I'm right. investigating to either figure out if we want to court.
Right.
And then you can fucking tell your side. But right now I'm trying to gather facts.
To figure out what you're being accused of specifically.
Right.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Trump 2020 in the state of Pennsylvania had a witch hunt themed party for Halloween. So
oh boy,
that's fun.
Wow.
Well, and again, it's only the pile of this is not looking good for Trump is only getting higher and higher with more material witnesses coming out. So Bill Taylor last week had mentioned the like White House like director of like Russian affairs, like the expert in the White House on Russia, Tim Morrison. He literally quit the day before he was going to testify. He was like, I'm resigning my position. And tomorrow I will go speak to the House Intelligence Committee. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it, I mean, again, this is another person who was mentioned by other witnesses who has firsthand knowledge of what was going on. Mm-hmm. So this is another problem because it went from being like, well, this you have a whistleblower who didn't know, who heard. Now you're being like, okay, well, we have this person. How about now?
Right.
They're like, well, that's only one. I was like, what about this one? Okay, that's only two.
Yeah.
And how about now? It's like, oh, that guy might be a Ukrainian spy. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Have said that about the army colonel.
The dude who made that claim on Laura Ingraham had to kind of do a apology tour, right?
Yeah, John Yoo. He went on Cuomo and was like, I regret saying that.
I was calling the Russian spy.
Ukrainians may have been espionaging. Right. So, which is interesting to see because that was a moment even Fox even tried to attempt of like besmirching a decorated Iraq war veteran.
Yeah.
When typically the stance of those networks is like, don't ever say a fucking bad thing about anyone who has served. To sudden like, that dude could be a spy. I don't know. He's Jewish too. So right. Like dual loyalty. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I think the sort of unified response about being like, what the fuck are you doing? I guess showed them a bit of a guardrail because it was interesting to see people like, okay, we didn't like mean to like do that, but
right,
but maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
In case like we have to discredit this guy.
Hard to say.
So I mean, it does ultimately, as you mentioned, end up with the Senate, and you know the Republicans do have the majority in the Senate, mm-hmm. So kind of all eyes are, you know, people have at least the like out of the corner of their eye, they're watching Senate Republicans to see how they're reacting.
Yeah.
And, you know, overall, it seems like there's a pretty big tonal shift. The Hill published an article where they were talking about just how GOP senators answer questions have gone from, you know, in May, what's his name? Lindsey Graham being like, oh, we dismiss it out of hand. I think it would be disposed of very quickly was what he said. In May.
And, oh, if there were to be a Senate trial?
Yeah, if there were to be a Senate trial. And now they asked Tim Scott from South Carolina if any of this bothers him. And he said, there's a lot of things that concern me. So, you know, they're starting to cool. actually take some of this in, it seems like.
A lot of teaser trailers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, huh, interesting. I think I might know what that might be. But yeah, I mean, you see some people who are willing to go all in, like, you know, we were talking about Ron Johnson the other day or even Marsha Blackburn. There are some senators who feel like they might have a little more involvement than we even know or even tangentially. And like, isn't that an issue if they're the jurors is like another question. And then on top of that, there was a fundraising email that went out from the Trump campaign that was telling all of the like massive donor lists that they have saying that they're looking for money so it can be divided between Trump, Cory Gardner of Colorado, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and saying like, yeah, because they're all supporting an anti-impeachment movement, he's like, quote, if we don't post strong fundraising numbers, we won't be able to defend the president from this baseless impeachment witch hunt, all caps.
Yeah.
Most people are like, are you bribing them?
Yeah.
By saying like, hey, I'll bust open this $300 million war chest I have. Right. If you guys get in line,
y'all better get that in writing if you're planning on accepting that bribe, because this dude never pays anybody.
Yeah.
That'd
be so funny. He's like, yeah, can I get that in an email?
Yes.
Perfect. What do you want to say? Something to the effect of, I will give you this reelection money if you just, no matter what the evidence in a Senate trial is, you vote against impeachment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sounds good.
Great. I love it.
But he is like breaking records in terms of, money fundraising for his reelection campaign, I think.
Yeah, he is.
And so, and we were talking about in a couple days ago how Republican senators are worried because their numbers are kind of
floundering,
drying up a little bit.
Yeah.
And people are starting to abandon them. So they're basically using one strength to solve
it's funny.
Problem.
I mean, right now, Susan Collins of Maine is showing such bravery by having no stance on the impeachment inquiry.
No stance.
When
no
has
stance.
She ever had a stance,
no
stance. On
but it's just funny because
hasn't ended up
she's in such a bad place after the Kavanaugh shit. Like, she's
yeah.
her approval rating is like under just not is subterranean. It's Mariana's Trench, basically. Yeah. Okay. It's where the Meg grew up. Okay.
Ooh,
underneath that fog beneath the trench. And she's still like, it's like, are you going to try and appeal to your conservatives or who?
Just
what can you do?
Try doing something, you know? She, yeah. Ugh, God.
If she just stuck her neck out, she might have something, but not going to happen. Because she's always like, I think things are concerning. That's about it all the time. Things are disturbing or concerning. But that's usually the line they walk, so they don't have to do anything too critical.
Boo.
Boo. All right. Well, so... back to the whistleblower investigation, the thing that started all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
It seems like they know the right wing media is talking openly about who the whistleblower is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reporting is that everyone behind the scenes is pretty much in agreement about who it is. And the person, at least this Real Clear Politics investigation is that alleges that the person is a registered Democrat, and they basically make it sound like the whistleblower is part of the Biden campaign, like
sure.
Oppo Research head for Biden campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know like how true any of that is because no kind of down the middle media outlets are reporting on the identity of the whistleblower, but what we know is it's a CIA operative. The person went to Yale, so probably like a creep of some sort or another. But
love that generalization.
CIA.
Yeah, and they're young, younger than I expected. But like even Drudge is not treating this like it's a big. You know, a big deal. It's like one link of 20 about impeachment.
Doesn't matter. The floodgates
because,
have opened.
Yeah, the floodgates have opened, and we're beyond the point where we're counting on this any one source of information.
Yeah,
basically.
The whole thing started with someone being like, "I heard that
like,
this," and now we have the people who are like, "I saw the president do this.
Yeah.
I saw Rudy Giuliani do this. I saw John Bolton be like, this is a drug deal."
Right.
Good job, Bolton.
I don't like drug deals. I don't know how he talks.
Hey, you know what really sucks?
I'm like a weird fucked up Muppet. That's what I look like. Guys, it's our favorite Muppet, Warhawk.
There.
let's talk about the president. More bad news for the president.
Oh, no.
There was a fundraiser on Wednesday night in D.C. that was held at the Trump Hotel in D.C. And apparently, like, Trump went up and did, like, an hour of, like, I guess mixture
Stand
of
up.
Complaining. Almost. Okay. Mixture of complaining about Democrats or Mitt Romney and also telling dumb fucking jokes.
Right.
Or, like, kind of half-roasting people. And then also patting himself on the back for killing Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Sick.
And then was basically saying that he called Representative John Joyce's wife, quote, a looker.
Okay.
And called the a shorter congressman, Chuck Fleischman, a little guy.
Uh-huh.
And some other stuff. But the thing that really stuck out at people is that he was talking, Steve Scalise, who is the minority whip in the House, he was involved in it. He was shot. He was a victim of a shooting in 2017 at that congressional baseball game,
mm-hmm.
Or the practice for the congressional baseball team. When he was talking about him, this is what Trump said. This is from Politico. They say, the president reflected on the shooting of Steve Scalise a few years ago and remarked how tough the Louisiana Republican is, and Trump quipped he wouldn't recommend getting shot as a weight loss plan. Trump also said Scalise's wife, quote, cried her eyes out when I met her at the hospital that fateful day. I mean, not many wives would react that way to a tragedy. I know mine wouldn't.
But, I mean...
Hold on.
So even...
Can we
even
unpack
if he's
that?
Even if he's like trying to do the my wife, she's a real battle axe, always getting mad at me. type thing, it's still starting from a baseline that not many wives would cry when their husband was shot.
Well, based on his experience with wives, that would probably make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No one would be said, oh, God, that's so dark.
Yeah. I know.
That's so many layers of like, oh, he thinks he's like, you know, guy, like right. everyone.
You know how like wives don't care about you because you probably abuse them and they're all like just sullen all the time.
Right.
Isn't that? Right? Am I right?
Am I right?
Am I right, guys?
Am I right?
Like, can you imagine him walking into Scalise's hospital room and, like, is just like, what's her problem?
Yeah.
About, like, his wife is, what's like, her bawling.
What's she so what's mad her deal? About?
Why is she, why she so sad?
She got a period. Like, what? She got her period. Jesus. Her wife is in critical condition. What the fuck is that? Melania, you never do that.
Yeah.
Told you my tear ducts don't work. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I don't know. It was a very... Yeah, it's funny when you see these moments where, like, all the Trump family just say these things that are revealing about their mental state.
Right.
Yeah. Or, like, how they see the world and things like that. So, like, even when Don Jr. was, like, I think recently he said, I wish my name was, he was on Hannity, he said, I wish my name was Hunter Biden so I can make millions of dollars off my dad.
Right.
Like, oh, that was great. That was beautiful.
Okay. And even, what was the other one when he said, like, when the father is powerful and you're the son, they own you. That's right. How it works.
Yeah. It's
hard.
And
I was like, what?
It's hard.
They just have these moments of clarity that are just so interesting.
When the father is powerful. Like, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that their relationship behind the scenes makes Logan Roy look like fucking Mr. Rogers.
Right.
Like,
right.
Trump is just probably so mean to them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can tell, even what we said, the way he was interacting with children in costumes.
Right.
He probably does not... interact with children. He doesn't like it because, like, I don't know, like, you can barely talk to them about the stock market.
Yeah, like he just met his kids when they turned 18. Like kind of,
It's like, Ivanka's like, this is your new granddaughter. He goes, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know Obama is a Muslim?
she's not responding.
She's 2 days old, Dad. I don't know. She's probably a fucking lib. Okay, Dad.
There's that story about how. I think Ivanka tells it like about how he taught them to be competitive, but it's like basically when they would go skiing together as a family, he would like attack them with his poles to try and like
trip
knock
them up
down
and shit. Yeah. And it was like first one down would get love, basically.
Yeah.
I do love a competition for a parent's love.
I know.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Just like openly encouraging that is so dark.
I feel like the most evil
thing you can do.
But that you know, crosses socioeconomic lines. Like poor parents make you fight for their love too. And that's also fun.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's also.
It's a time-honored tradition.
My dad used to do a game with us called Poop Stick.
Oh,
where
no.
Based off
that Upright Citizens Brigade sketch?
Yeah, my dad's a huge UCB fan. No, this was like a long time. But no, my dad would like have us, like me and my cousins, run around until one of us, because he had to always pick up the dog's crap and he could never find it. And so he'd have us run around until one of us stepped in the poop. And then he would get the poop stick and he would scrape
the
poop
shoe off.
Yeah, and then he you get extra snack at lunch.
That's kind of all ingenious. Right.
Yeah, it was pretty smart.
So you were...
Low rent Logan Roy.
Yeah.
So you were trying to find it. Like as a kid, do you remember like trying to run around and
you want to step in the shit because then you get extra love and snacks.
It wasn't enough to be like, I found it here. No need to dirty your shoe.
Right?
You can just pick it up here.
No, he'd wave the stick at the front of the house.
Who wants
like,
it?
Poop stick. Like he's scrape it off.
Ringing the dinner bell with the poop stick. Oh, poop stick time.
So nasty. It was a pointy stick though. I really got it out.
Just been sweeping my... backyard like a minesweeper looking for those dog poops.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this genius move.
Just send the kids outside, they'll find it.
He's like, it's like a weird AI hack where it's like, I use children.
Right.
Like but then swarm. Your porch smells like dog shit all the time because our shoes are covered in
like
shit.
Like the reason I go minesweeping for the poop is so that my kids
don't track
step
it in the house.
And then, well, that's a classical approach to the problem.
Yeah. I'm not thinking 4D chess.
Oh, man. Right. You really need to experience some kind of paradigm shift on them.
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and we're joined by super producer Anna Hosnier to tell us what yesterday's Halloween costumes taught us about the zeitgeist.
What did they teach us?
I don't know. I had to answer that question.
I know. I just sprung that one on
we need to intellectualize it, too.
I was just going to list some cool stuff. What are the deeper meanings of our culture and the direction we're headed
well,
in?
Well, first, let's talk about, like, what were the...
Just generally about hegemony.
The most popular Halloween costumes, it looks hegemony. Like, were Joker, Captain Marvel, which makes sense, Red from Us in the jumpsuit, Mr. Rogers, the May Queen from Midsommar.
That was the thought choice of the year, I think. That was the thought costume of the year.
That's
what that character is called?
May Queen, yeah.
Is that what the judges at the dog contest were?
They were. They were all May Queens, and then they shit all over the knife costume. Unbelievable.
Assholes.
Ugh. Forget it.
And then the other kind of fun thing is that now celebrities get like entire production companies to set up their Instagram videos for Halloween. Like
Kim Kardashian did the Elle Woods
reenacted like a 5-minute chunk of Legally Blonde.
What?
Right. It's her. It's the video of Elle Woods trying to get into law school. Like the video
Harvard
she sends in.
Acceptance video.
Oh, yeah.
So she remade that. It feels like a lot of them have so much money that their costumes are so wildly like accurate. Like LeBron James did the Edward Scissorhands. And
right.
It's
which deeply... off the top of your head, like or just. When you try and picture it in your head, if you haven't seen it, you're like, that doesn't really make sense because Johnny Depp is a sickly looking, you know, hollow eyed guy. So that's why he makes sense. And
to his credit,
LeBron
he didn't
James
do
is,
white face.
Right. Yeah, he did not. But the costume was fucking amazing.
Well, Paul George did night face.
Paul George did The Night King, and like that's one that I can picture it immediately, and I'm like, yes, that makes sense.
Yep, yep.
I loved Ariana Grande's costume.
Was she Kourtney Kardashian?
No, Kourtney Kardashian was Ariana Grande.
Oh, who is Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande was the from that Twilight Zone episode where you where the twist is she's been ugly the whole time. It was really, really, really
is
good.
Is it the pig mask?
The pig mask. Yeah. She wore
that one?
She had a bunch of really like horny pics of the her in the pig mask. It was let me see. Master
Man, that's film, classic.
I thought it was good.
God, it must be nice to have like true money to put like an over the top costume.
Anna is our must be nice expert. She comes on and tells
us. That's time for must be nice with nice. Anna Hosen. must be nice. What are you talking about? I don't know.
Kourtney Kardashian looked exactly like Ariana Grande. That was one where you, like somebody has once told you that you look like someone, right, and so you go with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to embarrass you, but in the doc you wrote Kourtney Kardashian with a C.
What the fuck?
I didn't. That wasn't me.
Jack's yes, it
canceled.
Was.
That was not
your
me.
Fucking mind.
I
spelled the Kardashian with a C too.
Yeah. It's just like, oh my God.
Kardashian.
Right, like Kardashboard.
But when I read it, I didn't confession. Know who you were talking about because it was spelled with a C. For a split second, I was like, I don't believe this.
That'd be a sick costume.
Fucking believe it.
Get your shit together.
I apologize. What were some other good Halloween costumes?
Gabrielle
saw?
Union went as her own character from Bring It On.
Hell yeah!
ISIS.
Oh, that was her. Yeah. I was like, that's a great costume. She really looks.
Sure looks like that young lady from Bring It On. That was me.
Her.
Oh,
but she also dressed her daughter up. In it. It was really cute.
Oh, that's cool.
Ciara and Russell Wilson went as Beyonce and Jay-Z.
I thought that was the best costume I saw.
They also made the video.
Yeah.
Which people have a lot of time and production money.
Right,
honestly, I feel like Heidi Klum and Seal were really the first celebrities to shame all other people on Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because like when she would go all out, even some of her problematic costumes, they'd be like, this person's putting thousands of dollars
Wait,
in.
What was her Halloween? What was her problematic costume?
She's done like Hindu gods and shit. And
right.
People are like, I want to leave that alone.
Right, right.
But, you know, look, it was 2007 when nothing was problematic. So,
right. This year she went as a human firework.
Yeah.
She
it was
just covered in.
I mean, it was like really cool looking, but then when I found out that it was nothing, it was just like.
She was just covered in.
Because they didn't look like fireworks. They just looked like
shimmery.
Oh, that shimmery.
Was a firework?
Yeah, that was. It looked more like, I don't know.
Shit is the word you're looking for.
I liked famous anti-vaxxer Jessica Biel had a fun one.
What was hers?
She dressed up as young Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah. Top ramen head, Justin.
Yeah. And JT went as a microphone next to her.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's cute.
He didn't look happy in any of the photos.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what do you think's going on with him?
That's also, maybe because his wife
is an anti-vaxxer.
The mother of his children is an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. Are their kids
stressful.
Vaccinated?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know, because I know she was caping for other people who didn't want to, and then was being very coy.
It's a third rail these days.
Yeah.
It's a new McCarthyism, man.
Oh, boy.
You say one thing.
Demi Lovato went as Marie Antoinette, and that was very well done costume.
Yes.
Full face makeup. She did some white face.
she did some extreme white face. Chaim went as Hanson. That's actually funny.
Yeah. Tony Hawk went as Larry David.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Anna Hosnier.
I went as a strawberry.
As a strawberry again. 2 years running.
Yeah.
Really
strawberry
cute. Jamie Loftus.
I went as Anastasia while she's poor, although everyone's been shitting all over this costume. They think I'm a pencil.
It's just hard to... If you haven't seen the movie, it's hard to place it.
Apparently, it's not a very popular movie. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
The animated film Anastasia?
The animated film Anastasia. The beginning, she's poor.
Right.
And she wears a yellow tunic.
Yellow tunic, like a newsboy hat or like semi-military-ish hat.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time. And then she wears brown leggings.
And red hair.
And she has red hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you really nailed me on, wasn't it?
To me, I think if you had red hair, I'd have been like, oh, Anastasia when she's poor.
Right.
You know what? I'm not good at Halloween.
I thought it was really bad Kill Bill costume.
If you got a red hair wig, you could have gone as Natasha Lyonne in, what's that show she did?
Russian Doll?
Russian Doll cosplaying as Anastasia Poor.
Oh my God.
Why did she, was that a character she played in that movie?
No, the big redhead. Red hair.
Yeah, the big.
You know what, Jack? Okay. Welcome to America.
Listen,
okay.
I fucked it up.
Eric Andre went as a pregnant Ali Wong.
That was good.
Fun.
Fun.
Jennifer Garner was USPS mailbox.
Sure. Fandango listed one of the top group costumes as cats from the new movie.
Kathy Bates went as cats.
That seems like a really hard one to pull.
That's too much of a lift.
I know.
For
man.
A group costume?
Yeah. Very
no, it's
difficult.
Not. You didn't get my invite?
No.
Oh, I didn't know there's a picture of Tony Hawk skateboarding as Larry David.
I know,
that's
cool.
That's special.
Who else? Oh, Missy Elliott went as her first album cover, so she just went as herself.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, Miles, weird flex, but okay, huh, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird flex, but all right.
But...
Miles loves saying that.
Yeah.
He says it like at least 10 times a day.
A lot of people don't know. Miles and I are...
I say the coolest catchphrases constantly. I don't like to do them on mic because, you know, I don't want to wear them out.
Oh, no, my boyfriend, JaVale McGee of the Lakers, went as Beetlejuice.
That was a good one because he was working with his natural
creepiness.
Like, well, natural like height and skinniness and, you know, Beetlejuice. At times, his limbs extend out.
Quite sexy.
Great. Well, we have learned a lot about the zeitgeist here today. Thank you so much, super producer Anna Hosnier. Will you stay with us?
I'm a strawberry.
Please don't.
You
come.
Are.
Oh. Hi, I'm a strawberry.
I like totals.
We have a little pop culture throwback news.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
To the 90s, I guess.
And 2002.
No, well, she's 2000s.
Yeah, she's the 2000s, yeah. The early aughts.
Paris Hilton is extremely post 9/11.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Oh, yeah. She's a direct result.
Paris Hilton. So she recently did an interview in The Guardian and talked about her love of the Juicy Couture velour tracksuit. From the early 2000s. And she said, I love Juicy Couture velour tracksuits. I probably own 100 of them in every color. That's my uniform when I'm chilling at home or going to the beach. Anything that doesn't involve a red carpet.
That rules.
And honestly, I think I like somebody who's so on brand, even with a style choice that is so outdated.
I can't get mad about it. She's just living in her moment.
Yeah,
forever.
Right. She's right. Exactly. You time stood still at the height of your fame, and that's now your look,
right.
Your brand.
I can't be mad. Yeah.
Like if Cher still dressed like from the 70s, Cher.
Right.
Like, which sometimes she does.
Right.
Yeah.
But like dresses up like.
Like always.
Not like hangs around in the house as the first version of her that was famous.
Yeah. I just like, again, I don't know what it is. I love the Juicy Couture tracksuit. It was my favorite garment to wear, to watch somebody wear. I would wear my own tracksuits that were baggy,
right.
Not tight like that, showing off my cakes. But there's something about... don't Google
somebody
that. Do not Google Miles Gray Juicy Couture.
Find the picture.
Oh, my
goodness.
Do your
goodness. Work, gang.
That in a Von Dutch bag. Wow.
Wait, I
you
actually
stole
didn't
my heart.
To see it.
I didn't know Juicy Couture was only for women. I used to rock that there, shit too.
You like got these tight ass velour hoodies.
What is going on today? There, I lusted after those when I was a kid, but I couldn't be denied. I was a child.
Did you ever have a velour tracksuit?
No, I had swishies. I had
swishies.
Like the. I feel like
I've
done this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a nylon windbreaker kind of material?
Those are the kind of tracksuits I had. Yeah.
Like real tracksuits.
Or like tearaway pants.
Oh, loved tearaway pants.
Oh, loved it.
Till so mine were ripped off at a party.
Yeah.
And I was not wearing basketball shorts underneath. Very humiliating.
Oh
wow.
Shit.
Were you wearing like tighty whities, like jockeys?
Look, that's not really important right now.
Okay.
But
okay.
Were you wearing Juicy Couture underneath?
I had Juicy
just
Couture.
Just juicy on your butt.
Cut off shorts that I was wearing underneath my North Carolina tearaway pants.
Love it.
And then all. Taking it back another decade, Kurt Cobain's sweater from the Unplugged show, which happened like just weeks before.
Months.
Oh, months.
5 months before.
Just which happened just months before he died. Just sold at auction for $334,000.
The sure. most expensive sweater ever sold at an auction.
Sure.
It's unwashed. Unwashed.
Yep. Olive green mohair.
Yep.
People are acrylic. Such perverts.
Do you think the person who wanted to sniffing the fuck out of it?
Smelling it and jerking off. Yeah.
I just want to smell it and become better at music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We find out some like millionaire died of like autoerotic asphyxiation right. with a sweatshirt around his neck.
Just wrapped around his head.
Yeah.
Although I guess you could apply that same mentality to all museums. So I'm just calling people museum curators perverts.
Right. You fucking creep.
Is there any unwashed sweater King of Tut? A celebrity you or historical pervert. Figure you would be interested in just kind of getting a whiff of?
Ooh, just like knowing, just to know what someone smells like?
Yeah, anyone's garments.
Oh, I need a few minutes to think okay. on that. I got to think about through historical sweaters.
Mr. Rogers, I'm curious what Mr. Rogers, his sweater smelled like.
But then it's like the never meet your heroes thing. Never smell your heroes because what if they don't smell the way you wanted
fine.
Them to?
Yeah, fine. Then I learn and that's that. And I can move forward
I make
in my
a $350,000 investment and I learn that Kurt Cobain wasn't the man I thought he was.
Yeah. It actually smells pretty clean.
He smells like Dracar.
Yeah.
Cool water.
So, he's like, damn, this fool is using cool. That ain't punk and grunge. Aqua de show.
He's a fraud.
Can you imagine just being heartbroken?
I mean, I've always been curious about how just terrible everything smelled throughout history, like deep in history. Like,
right,
just
when no one was bathing?
A couple centuries, like there was one summer where they just dumped all the waste into the Thames River and all of London just smelled like shit for a whole summer.
And, oh, hell yeah.
And it was just a thing people talked about. Like, they're just like, man, really smells bad here, like to the point that you can't think about anything else for the whole summer. Yeah, it's must have been bad. Napoleon was into smelling women's body odor. He was like
getting a whiff of the armpit or something?
Yeah, that was his kink.
Or would he have them cut the armpit hair off and then he could just huff the armpit hair?
I don't know what he would do. I just know.
I mean, there's just different methods. I was curious what his was.
He wrote letters
in the community. We talk about it a lot. Yeah. So
was he buying it from that website? The hairs?
The Rasputin like collected virgin hair and he would stuff it in his. Have I ever told you guys about this?
No.
This is, I mean, I'm wearing an Anastasia costume.
Yeah,
so
please give us some Rasputin.
So I like Rasputin would cut, like he would have people steal, like snip hair from virgins or people that they thought were virgins.
Uh-huh.
And he would stuff them in the walls of his house. And so like years and years later when they were like demolishing one of his houses, they were like, what is in the wall? It was the walls were stuffed.
With hair?
With hair. And there he just, I was like, I don't know what he was saving it for. But like he like collected ladies' hair and then would like squirrel it away.
And right. It had protective qualities?
I don't know.
He was really hard to kill. So
yeah.
Like what if that's the secret to immortality?
I know.
Just surround yourself by
I feel like this is not good for
Wow. I'm gonna start going
to put
to, like,
out there.
I go to start going to children's barber shops. I'm like, what y'all doing with this hair?
Right.
Mind if I sweep it?
Yeah. Mind if I sweep it? I do a service where I collect just children's hair for insulation.
Wouldn't your house I would worry about, like, if my house caught fire, it would burn down twice as fast because it's full of hair.
Yeah.
Because your hair walls.
Virgin hair kindling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Virgin hair burns incredibly fast.
Right.
As we
yeah.
all know.
It spreads. Yeah. It's the leading cause of wildfire.
Might as well be C4, yes. Basically. Yeah. Do not get a fire near virgin hair.
It's
yes.
true.
And there's reports coming. And.
And.
And. On top of that.
Here's something new. Apple. What the fuck? All right, guys. So Apple may be laying the groundwork for subscription-based iPhones. Basically,
like
you would subscribe to an iPhone as opposed to owning it, which I think is technically true now.
Well, they have that program where basically like you pay monthly, and then if every year you can just switch to a new one.
Right.
But you also have the, it's like a, like by the end of it, though, you'll own it. If you don't switch it within a year, like if you do the 2-year payment cycle, you'll own it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why anyone would
right.
want a subscription to a phone.
So Tim Cook came out with a statement where he was like, a lot of users are asking for this, and so we're going to do it. But the article on CNBC that wrote about that announcement was like, actually, it's because there's a lot of pressure from their investors to transition from like transactional to recurring revenue.
Oh, so, instead of just breaking your fucking phone every year?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So get them hooked.
I think they got scared because they started making the iPhones so good that the last batch of iPhones didn't sell as well in the United States. And it was because of how good the previous group was. So people are, you know,
but that's how you cultivate brand loyalty and shit, right? Like that.
But they're not thinking of any of that shit.
So also, he's really out here being like, a lot of people have been asking for another recurring bill.
Like, you're
who the fuck are you talking to?
Right.
That's, hi, sir. Would you like another recurring bill, miss? A recurring bill? Another one?
Timmy.
I mean, DJ Khaled?
The easiest
another
thing
one?
For a CEO billionaire to say is just like make up something that like poor people want. That,
right.
You know.
It, okay. It's an odd move.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
It also, like, I don't like the idea of disincentivizing them from like having to keep innovating and creating better phones.
Right, right.
Because like if you're on a subscription service, then you just like get the phone, whether it's cool or not. It just like comes to you.
Right.
So like why, you know, right now, I think I can totally see why it would make sense from their perspective, because they don't like having to like all this pressure to innovate and upgrade their phones like every year and like make a better phone that's going to appeal to users like that much more than previous phones.
That's not going to work.
Right.
They're like, hey, you want the stale iPhone?
Right.
That's like kind of better. Like, nah. This one from 5 years ago is still the best phone ever made.
Yeah. I ride with the iPhone 8.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I got whatever one was last year.
Mine still has a button.
That's the 10S?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I have no idea. It works though. They haven't demanded it break yet.
They haven't summoned the death spell on it.
Yeah. I've had it for like exactly a year though. So I'm like, soon.
No, that one is that's pretty robust. You got mileage on that,
because
I have one that's almost 2 years old. It's fine.
They haven't done a kill. They haven't flipped the kill switch.
No,
on
not
it
yet. Kill switch engage.
All right,
great band.
I have never heard their music. I don't know who they are.
I know kill switch engage.
I know that they sell their t-shirts at Hot Topic, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is kill switch the band?
You know where they're from? Westfield, Mass.
Really?
Yep.
There's a lot of shitty bands from Massachusetts. That doesn't mean that. Massachusetts, I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of good music there.
I was hoping
unless you're an Aerosmith head, of course.
Oh, shit.
And they got their
what
own
about
roller
Boston?
Coaster.
Are they from Boston?
I have to assume, but I can't
could
say
you
for
imagine?
Sure. What if they weren't?
They're from Omaha, Nebraska.
Pixies are from Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then look.
So
not bad.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank God they are from Boston. Whoa.
They're like from Westfield, Connecticut. It's Boston.
From the Westfield Shopping Center.
They're
like, what?
Live from the Westfield Shopping Center. I think that's where I'm going to start doing live shows now.
Oh, that'd be a great album.
I want to be a mall comedian.
Just unwanted comedy, like in the middle of a food court
to
set up a microphone?
Honestly, 95% of comedy is unwanted comedy. So what difference would it make to put it in a mall?
There was a new development in the Star Wars universe. David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, Benioff and Weiss, who ran Game of Thrones, are not going to be making a new Star Wars trilogy after all.
Oh, great.
The disappointment
Thank God.
Of nobody.
Yeah, literally, there's applause from the fucking, they're done.
Yeah.
Don't
Some
need
people
them.
Thought it was connected to, apparently they did a press conference at the Austin Film Festival.
That was rough.
Where they were like, yeah, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We were just like kind of learning on the job, man. It was crazy that they let us do it.
What
people
the
were
fuck?
Like, okay.
That was fascinating too, because I feel like people would see that interview 10 years ago and be like, wow, this is an example of how you learn on the job and like this industry is actually really hard. But now people are just like, yeah, this is an example of how easy it is for like an incompetent, like two incompetent,
dudes,
like rich white guys to like fail their way upwards.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And they also were like, we like cut some of the fantasy elements because we didn't just want that type of fan base to be into it.
What?
Where
was Mark Benioff from Salesforce? Are they cousins? Because I know
no
they're related.
There's like a lot of inherited wealth.
And then like weird, like their backstories. We talked about a little bit when we were talking about Game of Thrones, how What a privileged life they've had.
Apparently, from their end, they were not thrilled with the experience of the last season of Game of Thrones. And
so because of what?
Because of fan backlash. And so they were like, we would rather not deal with like a already super committed fan base like Star Wars.
We want low a bar as possible. Right. Yeah. And then it's weird. As we made the show, the bar kept going up. And I was like, this is actually like too much of a challenge for me. So I'm going to quit.
Right. Once we learned what we were doing, we were like, oh, shit, this is hard.
This is like really fucked up.
Oh, boy.
But they refer to it as, quote, toxic fandom.
Well, I mean, anyone there who disagrees something. With you is toxic, though.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
Like, that's a thing.
Right.
I agree to a certain extent that that is a real thing, but
for
when
sure.
You objectively made a just the last season was just absolute garbage.
Yes, it was very bad.
God, that's all so fucked up too. Because I'm like, I also don't agree with like people who are like sign a petition for HBO to make it another last season. I'm like,
let it go.
They fucked it up. I mean, I guess you know it's nice to have like nice things to be upset about instead of like real things.
Yeah.
Mm. But the main thing that they're saying caused this is just that they signed like a $250 million deal with Netflix. So they're just going to be making Netflix shows.
Peddling out garbage.
And to give you an idea of some of their other ideas besides let's make a TV show of this book that we really like. That was their Game of Thrones idea, which, I mean, that's to their credit. They like had to go out, get George R. R. Martin on, and like it was their idea and like their vision of like making this into a HBO style TV show.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how little work can we do?
But their other pitch was Civil War.
Right.
You might not remember this, but last year we talked about a show that HBO greenlit that was about a world in which the Confederacy wins.
Right.
Talk about toxic fandoms.
What?
Right.
The fuck?
Seriously.
Jesus.
I forgot about that. That's not happening still, right?
No, HBO.
Okay,
yeah, people are like, excuse you?
Yeah, right. What? Who? I hate it here.
Yeah.
Here?
Fair.
Aww.
On Earth. She must go back to her home planet now.
I have to be beamed back up.
My home planet needs me.
My home planet knife dog.
Knife dog. Well, Jamie, it's been wonderful having you back on the Daily Zeitgeist.
It's good to be back on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me on Twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help, on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. If you live in Boston, tickets go on sale today for my show, Boss Whom Is Girl. Pew, pew, pew. It'll be at November 22nd at the Rockwell in Somerville. So you should come. Thank you.
Mm.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes, and I'm ready. I'm prepared.
Hell yeah.
This never happened. Okay. So this is a tweet from my friend Corey Johnson at Corey T. Johnson. Says, picture this. You go to see Parasite. After the movie, your father yells, who is this directed by? Bernie Sanders? To the entire ArcLight Theater. It doesn't land. Why would it?
What that happened to him?
That is truly like that's Corey's. I mean, Corey's father, Reed Johnson, is notoriously the strangest man I've ever met, and he really tried to get people hyped up at the ArcLight about. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but that made me laugh a lot.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So at Corey T. Johnson.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Some tweets I like. This one is from Maddie at Maddio. It says, psychology majors be like, damn, I can't even be mad at you because I know why you reacted the way you did. And then this other one is from Asia, not Asia, H with an underscore. It's like a quote tweet of a thing that's like viral worthy. Vajayshals are so 2020 next level shit. Step your P game up. And it's some kind of vaginal steaming thing going on. I don't know what the fuck
I'm
looking at.
Oh yeah, the vaginal steaming thing. I remember that was a thing like when Goop was...
But there's like another element to it. I don't know. This looks like they stepped it up.
A vajayshal.
And then the...
Vajayshal.
Then what she says is, ain't it crazy how women do all this to keep their vaginas pretty and healthy? Meanwhile, men just wiggle the pee off their dick before they put it back in their pants.
And oftentimes they don't do that. They just let it drip all over the bathroom.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Like an old sick horse.
Yeah. I've done one of those.
Like an old...
I've done one of those.
Like an elephant with a runny nose.
No.
Oh, sorry. some tweets I've been enjoying.
I'm suffering from that one.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Onoshi Twinton tweeted, Trump, you wouldn't cry if I got shot. Melania, oh, that's not true, though. Trump, what? Melania, true. I said that's not true. And, oh, there's this thread from Melissa Martin at Double M Martin, where she said, Happy Halloween Eve. It's time for another year of my all-time favorite festivity, Tokyo's mundane Halloween costume party, where folks dress up as an utterly normal and boring thing. Here are my favorite costumes. And there's just guy whose pen is leaking, guy who bought an umbrella, but then it stopped raining, and guy who washed his hands and wiped them on his clothes. We're all very good.
Love it.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is a track from Dua Saleh. She's dope. She's like not really, only been making music for a few years and is just an amazing artist. Lyrics are dope. Production is dope. Very haunting, spooky little sample that helps, that informs the rest of the song. And as it expands and grows, I urge you to listen to the whole track. But this track is called Warm Pants.
Warm Pants.
By Dua Saleh.
I love it.
Nothing yes. I like better.
Also, just thinking about All Saints Day, I went to a Catholic high school. We used to get November 1st off.
Did you?
And wow. Like, I'm thinking right now, this would have been the most lit Halloween because All Saints Day would have been a Friday, so you would have had just a 3-day weekend.
Shit. Happy that to
shout out
all
to Saint,
that to whoever's
Saint
got
Blaise.
That.
Blaise.
To all our
Blaise.
Catholic Blaise. High school listening.
Hell yeah, bro.
Psych gang. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this week. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. In the crowd. I know you saw it.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.